And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales of a Long Box podcast. This is episode 210. What we are reading.
It's a lot of episodes.
Yes, it's a lot. Lots and lots. It's hard to believe almost, isn't it? I am Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb Gerard.
And I am Murray Fox.
Yes. Once again, we have come together
Cowboy Murray.
Cowboy Murray. I was about to say something, yeah. Yes, he's an accomplished horseman, I've heard.
Hi-ho, Silver.
Once again, we come together to discuss various comic book topic issues. Today we're going to talk about things we've been reading and or not enjoying, either one.
Hey, real quick,
yes?
Just tangential references. I've been listening to the audio version of Brad Meltzer's The President's Shadow.
Oh, yeah?
Which is actually very good. I don't actually read books anymore, so to listen to them.
Yeah, I probably will have to do the same. Is that his latest one?
Yes, it is. Yes, mm-hmm. It is. It's actually very good. It's continuing the same. He uses a lot of the same characters from his other books. So it's good. So of Justice League fan Brad Meltzer.
Mm. Nice.
So, anyhow, if you are so inclined to a mystery about set in the not too distant future, it is very, very intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
At the White House and all that, there's like a dead body at the White House and they can't figure out what it is. And
I remember hearing the plot of that. He's from what I remember reading, he laces his books heavily with comic book references.
You know, and I haven't caught any yet.
Maybe not all of them, but...
There was a Dr. Palmer at the beginning of the book, but was...
Yeah, that's... Sounds good.
And I'm sure there were others that I just... Because I've been listening to while either at the gym or driving and stuff like that, so I'm about 80% focused. But anyhow, it's good. Yeah. It's a good read. The guy reading it is his name is... It's Scott Brick. I actually know this guy. I just...
Who?
His name is Scott Brick. I actually know the guy who read this.
Oh.
Wow. Sorry.
That's kind of wild, isn't it?
Yeah, I just looked at the cover. Wow. Okay, never mind. Sorry. All right. Back to comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
That's quite all right, sir. Let's see. Who wants to start? Well, it's my title, so I'll give it out. Start first. I'll go for it first. Well, I'll tell you, one of the things I've been reading, and we talked about the first issue on our podcast, is Black Science, ladies and gentlemen. I had bought the Volume 1 on a sale on Comixology and enjoyed it so thoroughly, I immediately went to Amazon to buy the first trade, the second trade, and pre-ordered the third trade. So that kind of gives you an idea of how much I enjoyed it. Sci-fi thing, and as if you didn't hear that podcast, if you ever watched the old TV show Sliders, where they would jump from alternate dimensions, it's got that element with a little bit of Game of Thrones. It's very definitely not for kids. Very quick paced. Never know what's going to happen from one second to another. I just got the third volume. It was just released. Got the third volume from Amazon yesterday, and I sat and I couldn't put it down. I read the entire thing in one sitting, and absolutely loved it. So they're up to, let's see, second volume. The first volume is 1-6. Second volume is 7-11, and third volume is 12-16. Now it's funny that second volume that I got, I was almost wondering if it was a gag that Rick Remender did, but I think it's just a misprint. The cover is on upside down and backwards. So when I opened it up, I see a inside picture of the very last advertisement. So if I flipped it,
How is it backwards?
Well, it's when I open up the front cover, I see the very last page.
Huh.
And then it's in the ad section. So you know, you turn the page and it's the sketches. And it's all not only is it backwards, but it's also upside down.
You got the Jewish volume.
Apparently.
Got it.
So if I turn it, you know, up where the back cover is upside down and open it up, and then there's the first page. Very, very odd. Took me a second to figure it out. I'm like, what the hell is... Oh, here it is. Okay. So, anyway. The third volume was not like that, but I'm sure it was just a misprint, and, you know, it's a nice conversation piece now. But that's what I'm reading, read, and enjoying it immensely.
It's like one of those special stamps that was printed upside down.
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, that's the one I'll probably get signed, so I can just, you know, if I ever see him, I'll show it to him. Hey, look, this is weird. Your black science is so weird that it's completely changed the printing continuum. That's what that's a non-comic, well, a non-superhero title, believe it or not, which is funny. I've read some of his other stuff, and it's probably because, you know, it's the corporate thing, and it just didn't grab me, but when I read this, it just grabbed onto me and, you know, it wouldn't let go.
Made you its bitch.
Yes, it's a great book. And, of course, after I got the third volume, then I saw the solicit on Amazon for the premier hardcover, which I assume will have four volumes in it, or at least two. Sometimes I like the hardcovers better, but which we'll get to shortly, because I waited for the trade for another book that I really liked.
Trade waiter.
Yeah, well, I've been collecting more of those than physical comics. Shall I continue, or somebody else want to?
No,
go?
I'm gonna go ahead and piss all over your Star Trek-ness and tell you that I really, really am a fan of the J.J. Abrams Star Trek, and
doesn't
I picked
me.
Up the first. There's purists out there, and
the actual Star Trek cast from the Next Generation don't like the J.J. Abrams one.
Well,
they don't think it matches Roddenberry's vision, but, you know, whatever. Go ahead, continue.
The Star Trek Green Lantern series from IDW. The first issue is the only one that's out so far, at least I think. I don't remember seeing the second issue yet.
I don't think it is either.
The first issue is more Star Trek than Green Lantern. It stars the J.J. Abrams version of the original Star Trek series, and it's really interesting. It can already see where it's going to go. The Guardians have been wiped out, and all the Spectrum colors and rings have been set loose in the universe, and it's now the distant future, more future, and the rings have been released, and they go to various members of the Enterprise crew, and that's kind of where it ends.
Oh, that's interesting.
But then Hal Jordan shows up somehow in the future. We don't know the details yet, but it should be interesting to see where it goes.
I did not pick that up, but I probably will.
It's just it's pure fan wank. I mean, seriously. Putting the Spectrum rings on various crew members of the Enterprise is
even think of that, but that's a cool idea.
Yeah, Johnson or whoever came up with the concept, that's exactly what it was. Hey, what if the Star Trek crew members had the various rings? And that's the story so far. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, that's what I need to do. Does it show who gets what?
Yeah, let me jump to the end of the issue.
Don't tell me, because what I want to do is I want to try to guess who gets what and write it down and then get the issue and read it.
Give me a moment. Okay. Momento, senor. Yeah. I'm going. Come on, faster. And the rings are zipping around the Enterprise. Ooh. And all right. Okay, so We've got three of the rings choosing crew members at this point, and a fourth ring choosing the bad guy.
Interesting.
So we got the Sinestro ring. Obviously, that's choosing the bad guy. I'll give you that one. But then we also have the looks like the violet ring.
I would think Uhura would get that one.
No. And we got the it's hard to tell in these colors. I can't tell whether it's the red or the orange one. And then we have the blue one. Those are the three that have chosen members so far. And then the green one, I'll tell you, is Hal Jordan. He shows up at the end of the issue. So
Okay, well, there you go.
there's five of the rings.
Nice.
McCoy got the purple or violet one. And
Oh, the
Check
love
got.
one? I would think that Kirk would be the one with that one.
Chekhov got the blue one.
Huh, interesting.
And Uhura, again, I can't tell whether it's orange or red. It's hard to tell from
Interesting
this.
choice.
And that's so far that's it. But it's fun again. Pure fan wink.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. Well, yeah, I'll have to check that out, man.
Ta-da!
Ooh. Ooh.
Again, fun goofiness.
Sounds like it.
Oh, it is the red one. Yes, Uhura gets the red.
Huh.
So we'll see how that works. Blood all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's the sexy Uhura. So
Oh, okay, good. That's
her
good.
name, I can't remember the
Not
actress's name.
the fa shit, you would say that.
Anyhow, and of course the artist does good rendering of likenesses
That's
of the
gonna drive
character,
me
so
nuts now. I'm gonna have to figure that out.
all
You
right,
think
so
I could?
that's something I was reading. There's lots of other stuff I'm reading, but I figured I'd at least call that one out.
Nichelle Nichols. There you go. She is going to fly on a space station flight.
Really?
Yes, she is.
Wow.
Not
What?
shitting you.
She's like, wow.
She had a stroke recently, but she's going to space.
They're going to send a stroke victim into space. Well,
Yeah, I'm not
I hope
shitting
she
you,
makes it
dude.
back.
Yeah, let's see. I'll have to look for the thing, but yeah, I heard she's going up there. So.
Good for her.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. What you got, Murray?
I have been reading. Let me see. I read Omega Men against.
Oh.
I better. No, that's not true. Issue three, I really liked. Issue. I didn't like the preview at all. The preview I thought was yucky.
Yeah.
But
Well,
there was something there that
yeah,
pulled
go
me
ahead.
into issue one, right? So
Yeah.
then I read issue one, and I didn't love it, but the reveal that, can we reveal? I guess 3 months later we can reveal.
Yeah.
We can reveal that the fact that Kyle is still alive, which is what I kind of figured, kept me maybe interested. But issue two, I don't know, the series just wasn't clicking for me. But issue
Whoa, hell what?
three,
Oh.
I quite like. Hello.
You
I'm
cut
here.
out for a second.
Oh yeah, no, I liked issue three. I don't know what was different between that issue and the other issues. Like it seemed to be a bit more of a straightforward story. Not that the other issues weren't straightforward, because I think they were. It's just he's using this 9-panel grid, which is great. I like seeing the 9-panel grid,
Yeah,
but it's like,
it's really cool.
I get the sense that sometimes he's using like lots and lots of panels to tell not a lot of story, maybe.
Yeah,
As
you
Ben, he's doing
it's
the, he's pulling a Bendis.
Well,
It's very, yeah, it's you get you're getting things very piecemeal for sure.
like you're seeing little flashes of a battle or something, I think.
Yeah.
And but the battle doesn't, it's not a real long, I don't know, it seems like we're seeing a whole lot of stuff. I don't know. I found the first couple of issues tricky in that I wasn't sure what was going on, and this third issue seemed to not pull things together, but it was a more character focused issue, and I kind of liked it. So
yeah,
I will
probably
check out issue 4.
I really like it.
Issue 3 is staring me in the face right now. I have not read it yet. I've only read the first two issues, so but I've thoroughly enjoyed the series. So
I really like it.
The recommendation for number 3. Not that I wasn't going to read it anyhow, but guys' opinions mean a lot in this type of stuff.
I really want to like it. I like Tom King. He's such a nice dude, and he gives great interviews. And
he's on Facebook, and he was asking what people thought too. And so, I wouldn't mind getting him on the show. I bet you'd do it.
Oh, I think he probably would. He's nice, and he's funny, and he's personable. So I really want to like the stuff he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree.
Want to like it. You sound like you're forcing yourself into something here, Murray.
Well, the first two issues, I totally was forcing myself. This third issue, I liked. I thought I liked more of this would be good.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a series that you just kind of have to hang on and.
Yeah, it's a slow burn for sure.
Because then you can kind of go back and see. Like, he's definitely got a plan. He knows what he's doing. He's putting pieces on the board. So, like, 6 issues from now, if I go back and reread, maybe some of the things that don't seem clear to me will be clearer, I think.
You know what this book is reminding me of? And this is – I don't know if this is a stretch or not, but it's reminding me of Thriller.
I know what you're talking about, but I never read that.
It's the slow bleed. It's the 9-panel presentation. You're like, I don't know. I'm getting it. I feel like there's pieces that I'm missing, but I am confident enough that he's going to give us those pieces at some point.
Yeah, I think so.
And that's how Thriller felt to me is I felt like I really wanted to enjoy it and I did. But I couldn't quite put my finger on why I was enjoying it. That's the same with Omega Man for me.
Yeah, that I'll give you that too. Thanks. I agree with you on that one. It is like that. I don't know why I like it either, but it's got me engaged enough. I want to know what's going on. So
now I got the impression, Marie, just now that you are a Kyle Rayner fan. Is that right?
I like him. I think he got a. I didn't ever read his book. Like, I wasn't ever a follower, but I think he got a shitty deal when Hal Jordan came back. So.
You know me. I was reading all those books up until they changed all the creative team, and the two books that they got, kind of, I don't know, I can segue into my choices. I guess. But the two books that they got going with the Green Lanterns in them now are engaged because it's completely different from anything that they've done before, and I really like it. The Lost Army one is, my God, how many books does this guy write? Cullen Bunn. I mean, seriously. He's writing his own stuff. He's doing 4 or 5 books for Marvel. He's doing like half of the DCU stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But I do believe he's writing this Lost Army thing. Yeah, he is. Which I'm liking.
He's still writing Sinestro, too?
Yes, he is. And I know he's writing a couple. He's writing Lobo.
I was just about to say Lobo is one of his as well. Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else he's doing.
Does he have a Marvel book, I think?
He's got two or three Marvel books, actually.
Good God.
He did. I don't know if he's still writing Magneto or not. course, all that's going to change when they redo their stuff. But he's writing a lot of stuff, man. It's crazy. It's crazy. Let's see if I can.
Well, I'm really liking Green Lantern. The Green Lantern no additional stuff to the title, and strictly on the fact that I love Tan's art. So.
Yeah, it's good.
And it's funny. It's cute. It's also very, very slow feed, but it's nothing much happens in any particular issue.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun. It's beautiful to look at.
Is Tan the one that did Hawkman when the New 52 started? Is it that Tan?
He was. He was also at the very end of Outsiders, just before the before Flashpoint.
Yeah.
Tan, yes.
Yep.
Okay. I just pulled up recent releases. Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Recent releases for Cullen Bunn. Lobo, he's doing The Shadow Volume 2, which number one I just read. It was 99 cents. He's got, Magneto, Aquaman, Deadpool Secret Wars is listed here.
Deadpool Secret Wars.
Excuse me, Secret Wars. My bad. Deadpool, there's some this thing called Hellbreak, Night Trap. I don't have any idea what that is. I guess he did some Moon Knight. Of course, the Sixth Gun, which I'm a big fan of. Several Sixth Guns deals. Return of the Living Deadpool, Night of the Living Deadpool, Brides of Helheim. That's a creator-owned stuff. Let's see. Army of Darkness. He did a little bit of that. And some Uncanny Avengers, apparently. Something called In the Dark. He did the Castle Unholy Storm thing. Fearless Defenders, which that got canceled pretty quickly. Let's see. He did some of those.
That's a while ago. A lot of this is old stuff. By standards.
But, I mean, he's writing Tales of the Bunny Man. I don't know how far back that is. But, there's a lot of stuff in there. So, Venom. No, wait. This is Venom by Rick Remender. That can't be right.
Maybe they were co-writing it.
Yeah, but he's got stuff, Dynamite, DC, and Marvel. And, of course, Unimpressed is Sixth Gun. So, yeah, he's all over the place. Amazing.
He's like that guy who does Garfield. He actually has other people doing it for him.
So, yeah. Yeah,
well, for the Legion fans in the room, Fred Van Lente and Francis Portella, Francis Portella, are doing Ivar Time Walker over at Valiant.
Yeah,
it's pure Fred Van Lente fun. Mm-hmm. So,
I really just all of a sudden just something happened and I just stopped reading all that stuff, all the Valiant stuff. I don't know I don't know. I just need to go back and look and see what they've got going again.
Well, they're doing a new event. They're doing a Book of Death, which is kind of looking into the future of Valiant Universe. Mm-hmm. So kind of like when Image did their 25th issues a long time ago or something like that. So you get to see where some of these characters end up. But it's good stuff. That and Bloodshot have both are still on my to-read list.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bloodshot is done by Lemire is writing it right now.
Yeah.
It's wanky, wonky stuff. Very surprisingly for a book about a guy who goes around killing people. Very wonky.
But they're only the ones that deserve it, though, right?
So far.
Okay, just making sure.
So, but you know me, I'm a Fred Van Lente fan, and this is fun. It's got that Archer and Armstrong when he was writing it back in the day feel.
Mm-hmm.
And his Hercules stuff, that kind of that weirdness. Mm-hmm. So, or funny, excuse me, not weird, funny stuff. So it's another one of the immortal characters of the Valiant Universe, yada yada yada.
Mm-hmm.
So take a gander. And then the Book of Death from Valiant is good. You mentioned Valiant, so
yeah.
I would say hunt that up if you want to see what the future of the Valiant Universe is going to look like.
I've got a whole bunch of that Imperium I bought on sale I haven't read yet. by Dysart.
I haven't either. Sorry, Josh, if you're out there. You're not listening. I know you aren't.
Probably not, no. But yeah, they had a sale on them, and I got like all of them that were on sale, so like 6 or 7 issues, and of course they go up to $4 after that, so I'll wait.
And why did you buy them? I'm just curious.
Because I liked that. I was a big fan of Harbinger, but I just didn't like how it ended. And then there was a miniseries after that that was very interesting, and I can't remember the name of it. And then so this is like the continuation of that storyline. And I just want to see what happens with them. So I'm not $4 worth, but 99 cents worth. I was very interested. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So trying to spread the love around.
Gross.
So we're just kind of freestyling now, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's like jazz.
Yeah, okay. Well, I want to get this out before I forget it. We had that talk when we had our deal with our interview with Mandrake and Ostrander. You guys
heard of
mentioned.
Them.
Yeah, yeah. Whoa! Ow! Damn. Just big stack of comics and a laptop just fell on my leg. Ouch! Too much. So you guys mentioned the Kents. And I've seen that before, but I'd never read it. So the first thing I went to do was try to get a trade of it, which I looked all over, and it's way out of print. But I found
the what?
Yeah, everywhere I looked.
No, what? No, what book?
The Kents.
Oh, Kents. I'm sorry. Yeah,
yeah, I'd never read that. And I guess the last 4 or 5 issues or so, something like that, or Mandrake did the art as well.
The last arc. It was broken into 3 arcs.
Yeah, that's
four
right.
Issue arcs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I never, but I, believe it or not, on eBay, while looking for the trade, I found the whole 12-issue series in singles. So I picked those up for very cheap, and they're just, they look like just brand new. So I'm looking forward to reading that. That's what I want to read. That's a whole, maybe another podcast there. But I picked that up. So I'm looking forward to reading that.
You will like it.
Yeah, I don't know why I never read it before. It's one of those things. So, being a fan of Westerns, it'll be looking greatly forward to it.
You will definitely enjoy it. Ostrander loves that period of time, clearly. And
yeah.
I can't remember who the other two artists that he has on the series are, but...
Truman's one of them.
Oh, Truman does one of the arcs? Okay.
Yeah, the first
makes
one.
Makes sense, the first.
Let's see. Truman.
Yeah, I always feel jealous when someone reads something that I really enjoyed a long time ago and for the first time, because
yeah.
I'll never get to read it for the first time ever again.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like, I'm like that with movies, too, you know.
Yeah.
Like when I show like the Ghostbusters or something for the kids, and they're all just, oh my god, this is awesome. It's like, man, I wish I had that, you know, that first time watch. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like,
yeah, if I were to ever watch Schindler's List again, I think I might be able to repeat the feeling because I only watched it the one time.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Ooh.
Need to.
It's a movie to watch, but for me it was to watch one time.
No, yeah, I agree. It would be.
Like my dog Skip, I can only watch the one time.
Yeah.
Awesome movie, but I can't watch it again.
Yeah, I can understand.
Sorry.
No, there's books like that and movies like that for me too. Well, 7 would be one.
Oh, I don't think I like that one.
That one was pretty rough.
You're banned.
Oh, yeah. That was Brad Pitt, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes. It was one of his first.
Had a bad ending?
Oh, yeah, my God.
Bad?
Well, sad.
Depends on
sad.
Your
yeah.
How you look at it, I guess. But
what's in the box, man? What's in the box?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I literally walked out of that theater with my mouth open, agape. It's like, I can't believe it, you know?
Are you not a Fincher fan, Murray? David Fincher, the director, writer?
David Fincher.
I don't know anything about directors.
Oh, okay. He did Benjamin Button. That might be something more along your
Oh,
lines.
I remember that.
Yeah,
I
I
haven't
didn't see
seen
that
that
one
either.
either.
Oh,
That was
okay.
also
Well, never
Brad
mind.
Pitt, wasn't it? Wasn't
Yeah,
it
it
Brad Pitt?
was. Yes, it was. He did Fight
Ooh.
Club. How about that?
Fight
Yeah.
Club, I have seen.
Nope.
Really like that.
No.
Seven, Gone Girl, The Social Network.
That's right. He did Gone Girl. I forgot about that.
He's the
Yeah.
executive producer of House of Cards.
He directed one of the episodes, even.
Imagine, okay, director, here we go. Girl Played with Fire, rumored. Yeah, House of Cards, two different episodes. Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. That movie was something. Of course, the book was better, but, you know. Oh, the Madonna Video Collection. That's good to know. Yeah, Fight Club, The Game, Panic Room, and now MovieCast.
Panic Room. Murray, you gotta see Panic Room.
Panic Room was really good.
I didn't see that one. That was Jodie Foster, right?
Yeah,
It
that
was
was really
Jodie
good.
Foster.
Very good.
Yeah.
I
And
liked it.
Forest Whitaker. And,
Yes, and Dwight Yoakam, the country star,
what?
played a.
I'm about to say Dwight Yoakam. You just stole that one from me. And also, what's his name? We just won the Academy Award last year for
Oh, I don't remember.
playing the transsexual. Jared Leto.
Oh, okay, that's where he's from. But yeah, Dwight Yoakam was a scary SOB in that thing.
Yeah, he was even more scary than he was in what was the Billy Bob Thornton movie?
You lost
Oh,
me.
yup. Oh,
Sling Blade?
Sling Blade, thank
Yeah, I
you.
haven't seen that either. I need to watch that one. There's some classics I'm missing.
What?
Well, other people consider them classics, but, you know, they still might be. Let's see.
Well, I have to say, right,
But they won't be
back
seen.
to back to the topic of this.
Back,
The
yes, back to the comics.
Secret War stuff has been really fun. Not
Oh,
all
I
of it is,
agree.
not all of it has been classic. I will grant
Yeah,
that, but there has been
I've
some
been catching up
really
on
good
that.
stuff to take on Civil War, for instance, with the Captain America versus Iron Man stuff has been incredibly interesting about dividing the United States. The Ultimate End has been kind of cool with all the Ultimate characters and all the New York based superheroes from both universes have been crammed into one New York City, which is really just
Interesting.
plays on the idea of there's too many superheroes in New York and
This is true.
Marvel Zombies with Elsa Bloodstone as the main character has been fun.
Interesting.
The MODOK assassin, that is just crazy weird
I
cool.
bet.
Have you, Murray, you need to check out MODOK assassin.
I will check it out.
I kid you not. It's pure Stranko, wacky 70s, late 60s psychedelic stuff going on there.
That is something I need to read. I have never seen any Steranko stuff ever. Except maybe, I think he did some art or a story in like Superman 400, which I probably read, but that's it. And I think I dig his art, I think.
Oh, the old
Like
Nick
it.
Fury stuff that he used to do? Absolutely. That is very cool looking stuff. Especially, I mean, the covers are, you can't call out classic comic book covers without at least one Steranko being in there, but his
I would
interiors are
imagine
good as
so,
well.
yeah.
But yeah, the MODOK assassin, that definitely came out of left field for me. I mean, I like the character in Secret Avengers, the last arc that they did, but this is he is the badass of badasses, if you can believe it.
Wow,
Takes out
that's
all he takes
interesting.
out all the other assassins, and the it's set in its setting is Killville. That is the corner of Battleworld that he is
Wow.
inhabiting.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. It's crazy.
Crazy.
Stuff.
Daredevil with Wade's run on Daredevil's finishing up and enjoying that. Kind of miffed at its ending, but it's one of my most favorite books. Anyway.
I like how he revealed, and now he has to like take it all back. He has to
Yeah.
put the genie back in the bottle.
That's going to be interesting for sure. I'm still reading all the Convergence stuff that I bought. Just because I bought them, so I'm going to read them. Some of them have been okay. Not as bad as I thought they would be.
paid money for them. I'm going to read them.
Damn
Damn it.
right, yeah.
Yeah.
You could walk down a movie.
Yeah. Yeah,
Okay,
that's.
Maria, I'm sorry. I dominated there for a minute. I go go.
No worries. What have I been reading? I did like a big purge in my collection. Well, not as big as I probably should have. However,
so when you mean purge, what exactly do you mean? You go put them in a fire, you know, in a pile and set them on fire. You give them away, or
usually what it means is I take them out of the, I take them off the shelf, and think I gotta put these somewhere and give them away somewhere, and then I don't put them away or give them away. And they just
go somewhere else
in big boxes
okay.
that need to go
okay.
somewhere.
Gotcha.
But
they shift from one pile
have,
to another pile. Got it.
Well, yeah, they've shifted from I might reread them pile to I've cut ties with them and they're no longer
they're dead
they're
to you.
Emotionally attached to me. That's right. I can get rid of them. I just haven't gotten rid of them because eBay's such a hassle and
yeah.
What do you do
you
with
mean.
Them? Like I got.
Did you have any like orphanages around you that you could give them to?
Orphanage.
Hospital.
Oh no, I'm not kidding. Orphanage or a kids hospital, absolutely.
I suppose a kids hospital somewhere.
Depends on what they are, of course, but
look, if they're in the hospital, they'll be damn lucky to get what they get.
Well, no, that's not what I mean. I mean, you know, you don't want to give them Sin City or something like that. You know what I mean? That's what I was talking about.
I'm so sympathetic. Anyway, so I've gone through all my stuff.
Kids, have a copy of Sin City. Here,
yeah,
kids, have a copy
go.
Of Black Kiss.
Yeah, there you go.
How about some classic Shadow?
Anyway, my point is, as I was going through and kind of not getting rid of stuff, but getting rid of stuff, just putting it aside, I was finding stuff that I should reread, so I reread the Justice miniseries from the early 2000s, I think.
Yeah, the one with Alex Ross.
By, Alex Ross and Jim Kruger, I think, and Doug Braithwaite.
I think I'm missing an issue of that somewhere.
Justice, remind me. Help me out here, remind me.
12-issue miniseries focusing on the Justice League and
kind of like Silver Age and Legion of Doom kind of thing, and
yeah,
they ended up in armor.
Right,
yeah. And
it took forever to finish it, but it was really good.
Yeah, I think it did take a long time to come out eventually, but it reads all right. It's a little dry,
yeah,
but it tells a good. Little story. You know, you got the, you know, if you're looking for like a classic Justice League Super Friends sort of story, this is it, right? Like you get all the main DC characters, they're all in their classic costumes for the most part. You get all the villains in their classic looks. Again, for the most part, he takes some liberties with some of the characters,
Yeah,
but it's, you know, it's pretty straightforward. It's a good read, but again, a little dry. It's a little on the. We're very serious. We're taking things very serious.
Yes, it was definitely that. They made an absolute edition of it, but I'm not really sure if that really qualifies for one of those. I mean,
well, it would probably look pretty. Like it's you know, it's just a little. It's a little, very. Very serious. Very everything matters. Every period counts. Every, you know, it's very, it's serious. But it's good, and it, you know, it looks. If you like that painted style of art, it looks good.
It's perfect.
Yeah, I think so. It's not. I don't know how they broke down the art duties. They've got Doug Braithwaite and Alex Ross both listed as artists, and I don't know if it's like penciler, inker, layouts, finisher. I don't know how they split up the art duties, because it's not quite Alex Rossi, but it's certainly got his look to it. I just don't know how. I don't know how they split it up or divided it or whatever. So it's not quite Alex Ross, but it's. if you like his stuff, you'll like this series, I think.
Yeah.
I think memory serves. He just did layouts, and then the other artist did basically all the heavy lifting, because he was right. Because if I remember correctly, Alex Ross was actually also doing the writing on it, so he was able to. Okay, so this is where I want to put my dialogue and stuff. So
yeah.
I mean, again, that's a 15-year-old memory, I guess. If you're saying it was year 2000, wow.
Yeah, God, yeah, that was a long time ago. They made a huge line of action figures based on it too. All different armors.
Yeah. So it's good. It's a good read.
So yeah, is it a binge or is it a keeper?
Oh, it's a keeper. Will I reread it again? Probably someday.
I haven't in a long time. It would be interesting to read it again.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if I were really, really going through my collection, like with a cutthroat mentality, I'd be going through. Like, I didn't touch the Fantastic Four. I didn't touch Flash. I didn't touch Wonder Woman. I didn't touch the Legion. I'll never touch the Legion. But if I were really going to go through it, I would be like, okay, so I'll take Flash, and I'll cut it. If I were being really okay, if I were being brutal, I would cut it off when Geoff Johns starts and ditch that part of it. If I were really brutal, I won't do that yet because I haven't reread that stuff, and I think I liked it, but I don't know if I like it enough to keep it forever.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were really, really hard-hearted, cold, brutal, I would probably cut it off right, not when Wade starts, but right. Right after the end of the what's that story? The Return of Barry Allen. That's probably where I'd cut it and then ditch the rest. If I were being
that was Wade, right?
Yeah.
That was Wade, yeah.
No, Johns is after Wade.
Right. No, the Return of Barry Allen stuff. I'm just making sure we're okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. And Wonder Woman, I don't know where I'd start cutting. I'd keep all the Perez stuff. I would keep up to who comes after
John Byrne.
Perez.
I'd stop at John Byrne personally.
I think I would keep the Byrne stuff because he's drawing it, and even though the story, and I think I kind of liked the stories too. There was stuff I really hated about it, but there was stuff I really liked. It's the stuff in between. I'd keep the Mesner Loebs, and I'd keep the Byrne, but it's like the stuff in between that's really forgettable. I'd probably get rid of that.
Huh. Interesting.
And then
the Burn stuff. Burn. Jeez, well.
Oh, I'd probably get rid of all the stuff.
I forgot. You're a Burn fan. I.
Yeah, I like his. And you know what? That his art was still really great then, and his stories. I think I have to reread them. I think they were fun, sort of, when he wasn't like mucking about with Donna Troy or giving us that Wonder Girl.
Well, here's the thing. I actually liked the Wonder Girl at first. I liked her when she was wearing the wig and flying around using all the toys that she stole from Wonder Woman to do that with. I thought that was actually cute. But yeah, when he started doing the Wonder Girl stuff and bringing her mom as the original Wonder Woman, all that kind of just...
Oh, yeah, they made her the goddess of truth and all that stuff.
Got all complicated.
There's stuff there. Anyway, if I were being really brutal, I'd be pitching all that. But I didn't, so. Next.
Interesting. You know.
But there's still quite a big pile, you know. Like, I got rid of all of the Trinity thing. Obviously, I got rid of Countdown. I think I even put 52 on my scrap pile.
Oh, my.
I think so. I would too. Like, I enjoyed it when I read it, but I don't know that I'll ever reread it again. So
yeah, I don't see myself rereading it either.
It's not rereadable. Don't worry about it. I tried.
Oh, did you?
I think it's like of its time. I think it's very much of that era of DC. Like, it's cool to read if you were, you know, living in that time and reading. I don't know that it holds the same weight 5 years later.
Interesting.
As a historical piece, I know that's maybe elevating it too high, but it really did create a new standard. And on, for that alone, yeah,
that was the first weekly series that they tried, right?
It's the first weekly one that stuck with weekly. I mean, there had been attempts, but it had yeah, failed. This one, they did, you know, 52 weeks straight of not missing an issue, and that for that alone,
yeah, they did a great job with it.
It should be held to a slightly higher standard, but rereadability, not so much.
I don't know. I've never tried it. I'm wondering about that now.
And allow them to say, hey, we can do countdown.
Yeah. God, what a mess that was. If I were to get rid of anything, that would be one of them. And then, you know, tell it's like give it to the kids and say, okay, this is how bad comics can get. Everything else is from here, up from here. You know what I mean? So that would be interesting.
Yeah.
But anyway, so okay.
You mentioned Daredevil already, so I will just emphasize that I'm really enjoying it. I'm very interested to see where they go with it, and they clearly are incorporating a bunch of the TV show to it. Even the new look, they kind of slightly redesigned the Kingpin for the comic book. The artist did, mm-hmm. and he looks like Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, good lord, yes.
I mean, an even heavier version of him, but if you look at the face, it's clearly D'Onofrio's face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree totally. I think it's Charles Soule who's doing it after words. I'm interested to see, because I'm kind of like a Daredevil fan now because of that series and that book and the TV series and the Wade's book, and I'd like to see what they do after that. So it looks completely different. It's not going to be – most of the time Wade's run was kind of lighthearted. There were some really intense moments there. And yeah. Really good. I mean, like when he was lost all his sight, I mean, everything else, all his other senses. And
yes, that was freaky.
Yeah, that, you know, and Doom had him and all that other stuff. That was some good stuff. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with that. It might be good, might be not. I'm kind of a hit and miss with Charles Soule work. I think one of you guys is a fan of his.
I like a lot of what he's written. Yeah,
I don't think I can't say. Yeah, I don't know. He's one of those kind of up and coming guys that I don't really know if I've read anything of his that yet. You know, Cullen Bunn's kind of gone under my radar for a while until I just recently realized how much he is writing. Holy crap. It's not fair. Almost. Let's see. Oh, I've talked about the Epic collections before, but I've got one in the big shipment from DCBS. It's like 5-6 months of stuff all came in all at once. But the Iron Fist Epic collection, the first one, is called The Fury of Iron Fist. And it's got Marvel Premiere number 15 through 25, Iron Fist number 1 through 15, and Marvel Team Up number 63 and 64. And I had these original issues where they were first showing him. The first ones with Gil Kane art, Roy Thomas was the author and editor. And I remember
he did a lot of that back then, yeah.
Yeah. Where it flash back and forth, and he's like tracking the guy that killed his parents, and at the meantime, he's flashing back in his head to his training in Kunlun and Kunlun, or however you say it. And I remember reading that, and I didn't realize how much that story I wrote for that anthology was based on him going up to the different levels and fighting all the security stuff. I mean, that's basically what I had my character do. It's exactly like that. You know, each level gets a little bit more dangerous. And, but then, yeah, it's got a bunch of stuff after that, too. And then you flip through it, and he's fighting Sabretooth, and some John Byrne and Chris Claremont, apparently, were the writer and artist on his when his series started. I had no idea. I don't think I ever read those. But yeah, it's Claremont and Byrne. I'm looking forward to reading those. He's probably, I don't know, I've always liked that character, and I'm really looking forward to reading that. I got the Power Man in Iron Fist Epic Collections coming here in a couple of weeks. That should be fun. Because I never read any of that stuff. So, next up. Who's up? Who's up next? You still there? Hello.
I'm here.
Okay. Oh, we lost Caleb. Let's get Caleb back.
We lost Caleb. Did he bounce?
No wonder it was so quiet. Oh, there he is. He's back.
Yeah, sorry. I was just saying that I was watching NCIS and someone was reading that issue and someone grabbed it out of his hands and he yelled about the fact that it was the first appearance of Sabretooth.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What happened? I hit something on my phone and it shut off Skype, but whatever.
Oh, well.
What?
Sorry about crazy. That.
Maybe I shouldn't touch my phone.
Yeah.
Nope.
Who's next?
Murray's always next.
All right.
Next. Ooh. Alrighty, the other thing I've been rereading is I've pulled out my Morning Glories.
Man. Because
it's getting close to 50. Which means it's close to halfway.
I mean, I never could into that, but go ahead.
Yeah. So I did a big reread, or I'm doing a big reread, and I am making my way through it, and I am enjoying it. The first 18 issues are great. Like, they're great. Lots of character stuff, lots of mystery, lots of weird stuff. Like, they're just great. And then you get a run of issues where the focus changes. So instead of focusing on the students that we met in the beginning of the book, we get a focus on there's sort of an extended 7 or 8 issues that really delves into like the mythology of the series, which and you meet a whole bunch of new characters, and it kind of drags the momentum of the series down for me anyway. Mm-hmm. And then once you're hitting about issue the late 20s, early 30s, it's slowly starting to pick back up, and you're getting back to the idea that this is a school and that these are students and that there's some strange, well, I mean, you always knew there was something strange going on, but it got really heavy into like philosophical jibbity jabba and religious this and that, and I don't know, like it dragged a little bit reading it month to month, reading it one after the other in a big binge puts things into place a little better.
Okay.
Spencer, he's, I don't know if he's Claremontian, but he will drop in a little piece of something in one issue, and then he won't come back to it for 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 issues. And then when he hits that story beat again, you're like, oh, that's why that happened there. And that kind of, so he kind of puts things into place, and eventually they all kind of, eventually it all starts to knit together. But I'm finding the reread has been good because there are so many things I'd forgotten that have just, like, they've shown up for an issue or two, and then they're just kind of forgotten about. But they're huge reveals, and you know they're going to play a role, but when they do play that role, because I haven't reread it, I kind of forget that, oh, that was something important. So mm-hmm. I'm picking up all this important – it's been good. It's been good to reread, and now that I'm getting closer to – closer to the final issues that have come out. Like, the last couple of issues, the last 3 or 4 issues have been really good. They've been back to what I remember the series being in the beginning. So I kind of wanted to see how we get there, and it's been good. It's been good seeing all the – everything kind of – not come together, because he's still got a ways to go, but at least everything's coming together in my head, and that I'm remembering things I hadn't remembered, and I'm seeing connections that I hadn't seen before, and so that's been good. It's been fun. It's been well worth it.
That's where the series lost me, exactly when you said it probably would have, which was when they were when they lost their focus on the main characters who we had kind of been we had been following for
They're gone
almost like, almost 2 years. So
They're gone for 7 or 8 issues, and that's 7 or 8 issues. So I don't know whether those issues came out monthly, right? So it could be 6 weeks between an issue sometimes. Sure. So it's like a year or two, a year and a half. Half of not seeing the characters that we started the series with, and then when they do show up, they don't they show up to really service the story as opposed to service any sort of character stuff. So we see them, but they're really only there to kind of push forward the mystery and the mythology, and that's you know, that's tougher. That's tougher.
Yeah,
but maybe maybe binge reading it like you did would make it easier to take.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. Yeah, it's good. And
yeah, because I think I bought when we decided to read that. I think I ended up the 2 volumes were on sale. I got the first 2 volumes of it. I think
the first 2 trades are great. Yeah. It's funny though because I'll read I'm reading the issues and there's like little editing glitches throughout the series that really, in most cases, it's not a big deal, but in a series like this where every little fact counts, every little word is important, an editing glitch is huge. Like in the latest issue, there's like a coloring error where one of the characters who's, I believe, of Indian descent changes to look like African American, and it's and because the artist is not the strongest at faces, I like his work. I'm glad that he's consistent and that he's done the book from beginning to end. But he's got issues with like it's hard to tell all his characters apart. So when there's a coloring glitch or a naming glitch, I'm left scratching my head sometimes going, whoa. However, I think I've figured it all out now.
Okay.
I think so. Anyway, it's been good. It's been good rereading it. I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes in issue. Like the last couple of issues, they've gotten back to doing school things. So at the beginning of the book, the kids were, you know, they were in school, we saw them getting lessons, they were in detention, there was like a, you know, phys ed games, like it was a school, and then you get into all the mystical hubbada jubbada stuff, and now we're getting back into school stuff, and there's going to be a science fair, and there's a...
Did you say hubbada jubbada stuff? Is that what I just
said? You did say hubbada jubbada. Okay.
I'm just checking, I'm going to make sure I understand what I heard there.
Google it, it's very, very clear.
Okay, all right.
And then now we're getting back into school stuff. So there's like a student election and there's science fairs and there's, you know, kids being kids. Like it's back to, it's kind of refocused itself back on the school. So that's kind of cool. There's still like a ton, like 8 million questions about what's going on. But, that was the other thing that drove me bananas. In that run from about issue 19 to 27 or so, every issue some kid is like, stop. Okay, I want answers. Yeah. I want answers. Tell me what's going on. And there's always like a, of course we'll tell you what's going on, but now's not the right time. Or, of course I'll tell you what's going on, but first there's this explosion outside the door. Or, I'd love to tell you what's going on, but you just have to trust me. Like that happened every single issue, like for 8 issues in a row, and you're like, okay, we get it, you're not telling us what's going on, but it's not helping when the characters are asking to know what's going on and you're putting them off every month. Like, just don't do it. Just let them play dumb and not know what's going on, or let them or if they're going to ask what's going on, throw us a bone and tell us what's going on, even if it's just like a sliver of something. That drove me mental.
I bet.
But we're getting past that. We're getting past that. I think. Anyway, so it's
I will hunt up the trades. I admit I was a fan when you brought it to my attention way back in the day, and then lost again, probably like Ray said, right around that point, and never got back, never got on back on board, because I was concerned that given the depth of the book, that if I were to pick it up at this point, I would be out of the loop. I think that's a shortcoming of the book, that mm-hmm. definitely there's a lot of baggage, even for a series that's only been around theoretically for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not entirely new reader friendly.
No.
But having said that, I think Nick Spencer definitely has a plan for the series. Like, there's in the beginning, there's kind of lots of little references to Lost and how the series is like Lost.
Mm-hmm.
But reading it again and going back and seeing, oh, he dropped that in issue one and that plays out in issue 25, or he dropped that. Huh. Like, it really looks like he's got a plan. It looks like he knows where he's going. So I suspect the ending when it happens will, whether it'll be satisfying or not is up to debate. But I think he's definitely planned out what he wants to have happen. I don't think he's just kind of treading water or trying to figure out how am I going to fit this in. If he's putting something in the book, I'm pretty sure it's there for a reason, and I think it's going to pay off somehow.
Huh.
As opposed to Lost, where things don't always pay off.
Yeah, there's a lot of dangling plot lines on that one.
Yeah. All right,
well, I'm going to close out what I'm reading with Loki, Agent of Asgard. It itself is closing out with Secret Wars, and most likely will not see a resurgence post Secret Wars. But I really enjoy the dialogue. I enjoy the writing on it. The art is awesome. The character is a great anti-villain.
Huh.
He's got a super supporting cast. The direction of the book is just taking me completely by surprise. I don't know quite what I was expecting when I read it, but it's clever, it's funny, it's intelligent, it is thought-provoking, and like Morning Glory, it's best read in chunks rather than issue to issue, because even though there's a summary page at the front, is incredibly long and convoluted, and I love reading it. The summary page is awesome. In itself is a great read, but even with that, it's difficult to keep up. I would not call this a new reader friendly book either, and that's probably why it's going to get canceled. If the whole Asgard corner of the Marvel Universe is not getting played up very well in these Secret War stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was huge just before with the new film. I just dropped that incredibly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I highly recommend Loki as a binge read series. And it's only, 17, 18 issues, so plus an annual.
Nice.
Valuing.
Let's see. Let me throw, that Autumn Lands book that Buziak did. It is, they're not going to do any for a while, but the trade is out, so it's $9.99 cover, so it's pretty cheap. It's really good stuff. You want to check that out, I recommend it. You can read all of it at once. It's a little on the wordy side, because it's got a prose section at the beginning of every issue, but it helps set the tone. If you like a Sword and Sorcery and anthropomorphic animals, that's good stuff. Throw that out there. So, yeah.
And if you want to know other stuff I'm reading, every once in a while I throw stuff up on Facebook.
I've been asking you about putting that on the blog, actually.
Go ahead.
Okay, I will do that.
I got no problem with that.
Don't just say go ahead. Hold out for more money.
Oh, yeah, you'll get paid as much as I get
paid. I want twice what I get paid now.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay, done.
I want a 10-time increase in my salary.
I don't know. I can do 9 times, but not 10 times. Is that fair enough?
That's good negotiating skills you got there, Mosby.
I'm sorry, man. Just, you know. There's only so much advertising revenue out there.
Okay, fine. other stuff I'm reading, so I try not waste time on stuff that's not worth rereading. Mm. And unfortunately, this is why I no longer read books. Damn it.
Yeah, that reading them comics has kind of got me. I have short attention span for books. So I can understand what you're talking about. So, yep.
I got to call it a day. I'm being paged.
Me too. So let's wrap this up. As always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com and let us know what you think there. Or you can join us on our Facebook page and go over the slowly growing bunch of people that are joining us there. Is that vague enough? Or you can comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think there. And as always, thanks for listening, and we are out.